Good morning. It's 8 minutes after 6 o'clock. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. John Munson in for Joy Cardine. This week, Joy will be back next Tuesday. As the state budget process continues, many in the University of Wisconsin system are protesting the proposed changes to things like tenure and shared governance rules, plus a $250 million cut. My guest this hour, however, says these are just part of an ongoing war that Governor Scott Walker is waging on the state's universities with the ultimate goal of dismantling progressive institutions and public goods. We're going to talk about that this hour with Saul Newton, a student at the University of Wisconsin-Waukesha and U.S. Army veteran. He writes the Rally Point column for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. His most recent column is titled, What is Driving Scott Walker's War on Wisconsin Universities? Saul Newton, welcome to the Joy Cardine Show. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
Okay, so as a student in the University of Wisconsin system, how do you react to the proposed budget cuts and changes in things like tenure and shared governance proposals?
Well, I react like I think most people who have benefited from the University of Wisconsin system in higher education in the state react, which is concerned. We're concerned about the impacts that these cuts and these changes will have on our education and on our future.
You call the set of changes plus others Governor Walker's war on universities. Why do you refer to it that way?
Well, because I think if you look over the last few years under Governor Walker, we've seen drastic cuts to the University of Wisconsin system. We've seen double-digit tuition increases, cuts to financial aid and other aid for students. And so I think if you look at the cumulative evidence and Walker's record when it comes to higher education, the only word that can be used to describe it is an ideological war.
Well, I mean, what of the idea that the university's budget is bloated, as some say, and tenured professors don't do enough work anyway? So why not do away with that and make these people do more work? There are some budget realities out here. The state is struggling financially and the university has to take its cuts. Does there have to be something sinister about what the governor and the legislature are proposing?
Well, I think that, the University of Wisconsin, especially not just the last 5 years, but over the last few decades has taken their fair share of cuts and then some. The idea that that the University of Wisconsin is responsible for Scott Walker's self-imposed budget crisis is quite laughable. But when you actually look at what's going on, you can see a pattern start to emerge with cuts to education and cuts to public services, which point to ideological reasons and not policy reasons.
Okay, let's talk about those that ideology that your column that was the basis for this program suggests is out there. Talk about that a little bit. What is the ideology that you see that is behind all of these cuts?
Well, Scott Walker has benefited immensely from the backing of a very shadowy organization called the Bradley Foundation. This is a billion-dollar organization who for decades has funded America's conservative movement, for lack of a better term, and the former president of the Bradley Foundation wrote an article in 1994 where he called for the University of Wisconsin and the Wisconsin idea to be abolished as part of a way to remake Wisconsin society in his image without public institutions serving the public.
What is it that makes the Bradley Foundation shadowy to you?
Well, because they push ideological policy initiatives and they push policy positions that most people, I think, if they saw what was actually being called for, would be opposed to. But instead of engaging in a public debate of ideas and a public discussion. They instead push money to front groups, basically, to push their agenda. And so rather than debating their ideas out in the open, they use misdirection and falsehoods to enact their ideas when it comes to voucher schools, when it comes to economic development, and now we're seeing when it comes to the University of Wisconsin.
The number to call to join the program this morning, 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, email address talk@WPR.org. You can also find the Joy Cardine Show on Facebook and Twitter and make your comment or leave your question in that way. What do you make of our guest's analysis? Is there a war on the UW system? Or is he missing the mark? What role do you think the state should play in supporting higher education or K-12 education or other public goods? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Democratic Governor Jim Doyle also cut the UW system by $250 million in one instance in 2008. We had a listener who wrote on Facebook, did Governor Doyle wage a war on education when he cut $250 million from the system? And I think we just lost our guest, which was, I think, what I was expecting would happen right about now, in fact. We'll have Saul Newton back as soon as we can reconnect with him. And in the meantime, invite your participation in the program. What do you think about this? Is there a war on the university? Is there a war on education in general? Is there a war on anything that might be progressive? That is, those are all questions. Do you see it that way? Or are we getting back to common sense? If you take a look at the commentary on both sides of this issue online, of course, online commentary isn't always the best way to look at things, but it's out there. People are saying what they think, and there's a significant number of people who consider the university a waste of taxpayer money. In fact, we had a caller to this very program yesterday who basically said the idea of a state university is kind of a misnomer, that what Wisconsin citizens really want is a really good technical college. What do you think of that idea? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, and talk@WPR.org is the email address. And as a number of people have already done this morning, you can go to Facebook, look for the Joy Cardine Show there, and state your opinion. You can ask a question of our guest or make a comment, bring up an idea. It's all good. Let me just read a portion Saul Newton's commentary at the Milwaukee Journal, the one that's titled "What Is Driving Scott Walker's War on Wisconsin Universities." One of the points he's making here is that this war on Wisconsin's public colleges will result in lower quality and higher debt for students and families, and that's a concern. Is that a concern of yours? Wondering what you think about this. 800-642-1234. You can also reach us on email, talk@WPR.org, and find us on Facebook and Twitter. Are you somebody who's been through the university system? What did you think about the education that you got? What was your reaction to the controversy we experienced earlier this year when it was revealed that the budget proposal that the governor advanced to the legislature included the removal of basically the Wisconsin idea, replacing it with a directive to meet the state's workforce needs? Should the university be in business to train the workforce? Is that what they're there for? Do we have Saul back yet? Saul, are you with us? Okay. Yes, okay. Saul, let's address, we're just about at news time, let's address the Jim Doyle question. The governor, Governor Doyle cut the university by $250 million in 2008. Was that a war on the university?
Well, my response to that would be that obviously, over the last few decades, we've seen politicians from both parties divest in education and not make the types of commitments and investments that we need to truly have a world-class university system like we do have here in Wisconsin. I would say that the difference is that between the cuts that the university has already taken over the last 5 years, in addition to the cuts that are now being proposed, you look at the mentality and the justification for making those cuts, what you see is not policy-driven. It's not something that really makes sense, so to speak. But it is part of a larger effort to undermine public education.
Saul, we have to go to the news, and we'll get you right back on as soon as we get back. I'm John Munson, and for Joy Cardine, this is the Ideas Network. Is there a war on universities? My guest says yes. We're talking about that this hour on the Joy Cardine Show. John Munson in for Joy Cardine. My guest, Saul Newton, a student at the University of Wisconsin Waukesha and U.S. Army veteran. He writes the Rally Point column for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. His most recent column is titled, What is Driving Scott Walker's War on Wisconsin Universities? Saul, just before the news, we were discussing, the issue that Governor Doyle had reduced the university's budget. And in fact, if you take a look back at the last 20 to 25 years, and even further, the state's tax dollar contribution to the university's budget has been shrinking in real terms, and the university has been raising more and more outside money to support itself. So one way, I suppose, that this could be framed is that the governor and the legislature are basically continuing what has been a trend over the last couple of decades. Wouldn't that be fair?
Well, we can't deny that state investment in higher education in Wisconsin and across the country has declined significantly over the last couple of decades. But I would point out a couple of things. First, the cuts proposed by Scott Walker and the legislature are larger than any we've seen thus far, and that's on top of hundreds of millions of dollars already slashed from their budget. And the other thing that I would point out is that Wisconsin is one of only a handful of states who are continuing to cut higher education funding. Scott Walker, in pursuit of his ambitions for higher national office, is launching a campaign on the backs of students and the backs of families across the state in a way that we aren't seeing across the Midwest and our neighboring states or even across the country.
And by the way, just to let our listeners know, Saul is now in the studio as opposed to being on a cell phone, which is where he was before. So that's accounts for the difference in the way his voice sounds. It is the same person, I promise. 800-642-1234, the number to call to join the program. Could this be, though, a reflection of the changing attitude in our state toward higher education? I mean, if you take a look at some of the things people have been saying about the university in response to what's been happening, there's been a lot of, well, it's about time. The university's image with the general population seems to be a bit tarnished. Could that be a part of what is driving this?
Well, I think that's indicative of the type of leadership that we've seen under Governor Walker, this divide and conquer mentality of, dividing people and exacerbating those differences. The university certainly has a role to play in higher tuition and student loan debt, but the way to fix those things is not to completely gut the system or enact these drastic cuts, which are going to drive tuition even higher and exacerbate student loan debt and push away qualified faculty and leadership from the state.
You talk about, you blame Governor Walker for making it harder for students to access the university by removing funding from financial aid programs. We've talked about that a little bit. But on the other hand, he's also instituted tuition freezes and has proposed another for this year's budget. Does one balance the other a little bit?
Well, I would answer, and my answer to that would be no. basically the tuition freezes, in my opinion, are nothing more than a political ploy to hide the fact that he's really undermining the quality of higher education in this state. The way that these tuition freezes have been enacted have been completely irresponsible and just, you know, another example of irresponsible decision making from our state government. The fact of these tuition freezes doesn't negate the fact that we're already seeing faculty leaving the system, leaving the state. Course offerings are being decreased and in some cases eliminated. I mean, these are real harms to real people attending the 26 campuses across the state. And I would wonder, I know as a student, what my answer to this would be. But in exchange for a tuition freeze, I would much rather be able to finish my degree in 4 or 5 years rather than 6 years or even longer, because the institutions I attend aren't offering the courses that I need to graduate.
Let's go to the phones. We have a number of people who want to join the discussion this morning. There's room for you at 800-642-1234. We'll start in Madison, where Chris is on the line. Chris, good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to say that I think the truth lies somewhere in the middle, as with most things. The university system is not going to suffer as near as much as the author portrays, but at the same time, it has been a little bit out of control with the tenured professors teaching one class a year versus, you know, when I went to UW Oshkosh just 4 years ago, you know, tenured professors teaching entry-level micro classes and writing a book on virology and teaching a virology lab, and you had the engagement with the students, whereas down here in Madison, where the atmosphere is much different, I believe Scott Walker is bringing some accountability, a long-needed accountability, and from a veteran, you should understand the need for accountability. If you're going to provide a service, you need to be the best steward of the funding for that service. At the same time, we need to have strong support for the university system, but it can't be strong if we believe that our money is being wasted.
Chris, thanks for the call. Saul Newton?
Well, I would say that when you look at the types of changes that are being made, not just in terms of funding, but in terms of policy changes and the politicization of the University of Wisconsin system, you can really see what is a longer play here, which is, you know, the University of Wisconsin is a world-renowned institution and higher education network. And while there does need to be accountability, and I don't think anyone would argue that, this irresponsible cut to funding and the largest funding proposal cut in the UW system's history is not the way to bring about that type of accountability.
Well, what about the caller's point, assertion that, you know, you have these professors teaching one class a year? What about the assumption that everybody who is working as a professor or a teacher at the university, that's what they should be doing, is teaching, and the research, that's just something extra that they do?
Well, I think that's a fundamental misunderstanding of the purpose of research institutions in Wisconsin and the way that higher education operates. Yes, there are teachers who don't teach as much as they research, but that is, again, not a reason to virtually dismantle this our world-renowned higher education system through these draconian budget cuts.
800-642-1234 is the number to call to join the program. We had a caller, Michael, who could not stay on with us, but who said every problem can be solved by education. Crime, poverty, and other social problems can be solved by education. I would think, Saul, that you would agree at least in part with that.
I absolutely agree. One of the things that makes the University of Wisconsin system unique and among the best in the world is this idea that students and faculty and employees have an obligation beyond the classroom. They have an obligation to improve society, to make the world a better place, and that comes from, you know, the education that you receive, that they receive at a public institution of higher education. And so I think it's telling that in addition to these drastic budget cuts and the changes to policies, there was also an effort that was quickly abandoned to strip language from the Wisconsin idea from state law, which is what codifies that idea that the obligation of the University of Wisconsin extends beyond the classroom and covers all areas of the state.
Lee, we have some callers. Let's get to the phones again and go to Eau Claire this time. Bonnie is on the line with us. Bonnie, good morning.
Good morning. I myself have witnessed a concerted effort utilizing local talk radio stations, you know, spreading propaganda, you know, in all of the institutions that Scott Walker has bombarded during, you know, his reign in Wisconsin. And they spread propaganda. Now, this one is particular to universities, to include but not limited to. Kids graduating from college can't get jobs, and they live in their parents' basements, and they're not doing anything. They're just playing their video games. Colleges should prepare people to get jobs. Now, they've been blasting college professors. They just sit in their offices all day and collect the tax dollars, hardworking people's tax dollars. It's been a concerted effort. I recognize the voices. I check different stations. This is an all-out propaganda attack on our universities. And then pretty soon you hear people in the public saying, oh, yeah, they don't do anything. They don't teach any classes. It's pretty bad. And it's not true. I went to the two universities in our area, and those professors work very, very hard. And tenure is to protect their right to free speech, that they can teach things in their classes, and research areas that maybe some people in power might not appreciate. So we have people in our area, you know, doing studies on frac sand mining, and hopefully they'll be safe in their universities because of the all-out attack on people and in our governmental laws protecting, you know, our environment. So it's pretty bad. I'm concerned about what's going on in our state. I feel real bad about it.
All right, Bonnie, thank you. Bonnie sees kind of an organized, concerted propaganda effort. Are you seeing the same thing?
Well, yes, and that is what makes the recent events surrounding the UW system most unique is that, you know, it's telling that Scott Walker in campaigning around the country is comparing his attacks now on the University of Wisconsin to his Act 10 proposal 5 years ago, 4 years ago, because the same actors who sprung up to support him and defend him during the Act 10 debate and controversy are the same groups and the same individuals who are now attacking the University of Wisconsin system on his behalf and defending this draconian plan to radically change the way that the University of Wisconsin system operates. Those groups, by and large, are funded through the Bradley Foundation. And so it's very telling that you know, these changes are just coming about now, but they were proposed over 20 years ago. And so I think what that shows is a coordinated effort to undermine our higher education system in Wisconsin.
Let's take a call next from Jeannie in Lake Mills. Jeannie, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. Thanks. excuse me. One thing I wanted to say real quick, in addition to what I call about, is that I've personally witnessed a lot of people leaving the university system and the DNR, which I work for, because of these, you know, related to these cuts, let's say. I won't say because. I don't run a personal business that closely. But I also wanted to say one of the things that really concerned me recently was someone proposing to get rid of classes that were redundant across from one university to another. When I lost my job in 2009, I was able to go to University of Whitewater to take the courses I needed for the job that I'm doing now. If those courses had been cut, because we have wonderful programs up at Stevens Point, there's absolutely no way I could have gone back to school. And I don't know what I'd be doing right now. It wouldn't be the job that I really love, that I've got now, that I'm happy with.
Jane is referring to proposals to eliminate redundant courses or courses that are called redundant so that each university in the system would have basically have its own and we wouldn't be duplicating things. I presume that doesn't include stuff like composition and those general ed courses that everybody has to take. But Jeannie's got some concerns there. Saul Newton, what do you make of all of this?
Well, I think Jeannie's story is very telling and exemplifies the experiences of a lot of students across the University of Wisconsin system and across the state, including my own. You know, I rely on a community college for my education right now, and you know, if the courses that are offered there were not offered there, I would not have the opportunity to pursue my education. But the thing is that just like we see with other policy initiatives in the last 5 years, that isn't an accident. You know, this is part of a strategic effort to undermine our public institutions in this state in favor of a different approach that prioritizes profit over the well-being of the public.
Let's take another call here. We'll go to Onalaska, where Craig is with us. Craig, good morning.
Good morning. It's my opinion that conservatives have always felt that universities have been staffed by people who have progressive or liberal views. And now that they're in power, they want to do away with that, cut back on any influence to try to maintain their political base. I also see, you know, Republicans or conservatives at this point in time have a great deal of difficulty with scientific views as well. And you can see that by wanting to cut back with the DNR and their scientific relationship. And I think it all has to do with the fact that there's been a unified push by conservatives to introduce the same bills throughout the different state legislatures at the same time, and I just see it as just a strictly political, not anything that's really related to bettering the state of Wisconsin.
Craig, thanks for the call. Quickly before the news, Saul Newton, part of a general campaign that's anti-intellectual, anti-science?
Well, I think that if you look at the article that I refer to in my piece, you know, you can see the justification for undermining public education and public higher education in the state, in that it is indicative, according to the author, of a failed philosophy that requires nothing less than the transfer of moral and spiritual authority away from civil society into the hands of the state. I mean, this sounds like something out of a you know, Black Ops novel or something like that. But you know, I believe that it is a very concerted effort to undermine public education in this state, and we've seen it through other initiatives coming from these same individuals, whether it's unaccountable voucher schools or whether it's stripping away oversight, thankfully, which was undone, but stripping away oversight of for-profit colleges. These individuals are not interested in the public welfare in Wisconsin.
800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Do you agree with our guest that the governor has declared war on the University of Wisconsin system, or do you think that maybe it's about time that we do away with tenure and shared governance and things like that? What do you think? 800-642-1234. We're going to take a short break for news. We'll be right back. John Munson in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. The question this hour is, has Governor Walker declared war on the UW? My guest, Saul Newton, student at the University of Wisconsin Waukesha, U.S. Army veteran, says yes. He writes a column for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel called Rally Point. His most recent column is titled, What is Driving Scott Walker's War on Wisconsin's Universities? So, Scott, one of the a previous caller talked a little bit about this idea that the universities are hotbeds of leftism, and some go as far as to say Marxism, and the state ought not to be supporting that. Others, excuse me, I'm sorry, Saul, not Scott. I don't know why I'm doing that this morning. Too many S's. But the idea that, well, let me just read a portion of one online column. It's a blog called The American Thinker, particularly virulent against the university. And I'll just read one sentence out of here, and I think this coincides with something that our last caller said. Establishment leftism depends on institutions that support and promote its philosophy and agenda using our money. The most obnoxious offender is big education, especially tenured professors who mock our values even as they rob our pockets. That's out there. And that's just a sample. I mean, you don't have to do much of a survey to find a lot of that online these days. That it coincides with what our last caller said, and then it goes on to say, and there are plenty more posts about this kind of thing, that the university's budget is bloated and that $250 million is just a good start.
Well, in terms of the university's budget, I think you need to look at the impact that the universities across the state have on their communities, whether it's a large institution like UW-Madison or a small institution like UW-Stevens Point or even some of the community colleges like UW-Waukesha, which I attend to. You know, these are institutions which dramatically increase economic activity in their communities. I mean, the UW system really is the economic engine of the state, not only in that it prepares, you know, the workforce of tomorrow, but in that it also really leads the state in terms of economic development and development of our state. And so, you know, to cut one of the main drivers of our state's economy is frankly irresponsible. But the issue with, you know, bias, perceived bias in the classroom is one I think of just misunderstanding, in that, you know, going to college and getting a higher education is supposed to challenge the way you think. And so, you know, it's supposed to expose you to new ideas that you're not familiar with. And so that can come in the form of, you know, controversial political beliefs, or that can come in the form of, you know, theories and ideas that are merely speculative and need to be explored further. But the idea that being challenged is somehow a detriment, I think, is just a misunderstanding of the purpose of higher education. But again, it goes back to this idea that, you know, in order to lead our state, you need to use these divide and conquer tactics, which demonize people who, you know, you don't even know or have any exposure to, but somehow you view as hostile to your values. I think that's what we've seen under Governor Walker, especially in using these types of divide and conquer tactics to further divide our state.
We had a caller on our show yesterday who said he thought the concept of a state university didn't really make sense. He said what the taxpayers really want is a really good technical college. He raised the point he was raising, the question he was raising is, you know, why should the state provide higher education at all? Is it possible for us to actually have a fundamental debate about the role of state support in higher education in the current atmosphere?
Well, I think that's a debate that needs to happen, because what you've seen, not just under Scott Walker, although Scott Walker's certainly been one of the worst actors, what you've seen is a gradual and significant decline in state investment of higher education. And so I think we do need to have that debate of you know, the purpose of higher education and the benefits it provides. I mean, the reality is that in today's economy and in today's world, you need some form of higher education in order to be employable and to compete and to earn a spot in the middle class. That is really a necessity in a way that it hasn't been previously. But I think if you look back over the tradition that is steeped in with the UW system, we decided generations ago that public education is a public good, and it benefits all citizens of the state to have a highly educated and qualified workforce. It not only benefits our economy, but it also benefits our society. And so I think that's a investment and a decision that was made long ago. It's deeply intertwined with our history as a state. But what we've seen recently is our leaders, our political leaders, moving away from that and shifting more and more of the burden of the cost of higher education onto students and onto families across the state. Public higher education is no longer accessible and affordable. That's a sad reality that we need to confront. But the answer is not to make that problem worse. The answer is to really invest in higher education in the state, because it is quite literally the definition of investing in the future.
At the end of your column, you say this attack on progressivism also includes policies such as the WEDC, school vouchers, and declining enforcement at the Department of Natural Resources. Connect the dots for us here.
Well, it's not just an attack on progressivism. It's perceived progressivism. I don't think that the University of Wisconsin system is a hotbed of liberal academics, although that's certainly the view that others have. I think what's going on is a concerted effort to undermine public services and public goods. According to Scott Walker, economic development is no longer a method to provide jobs, high-paying, family-supporting jobs, and to grow our economy through state aid. It's now a public-private partnership, which simply serves to give kickbacks to his campaign donors. You look at the environmental enforcement is no longer a way to protect public health and safety. It's now something that can be sacrificed in the name of profits for his high campaign donors. That's what we're seeing. It's using state services as a ploy to reward campaign donors as he runs for higher office in his perpetual campaign mode.
So, I guess another legitimate question here is, why should we have public services or public goods? What if the private sector can do them better?
Well, I think that there are certainly instances where the private sector can provide services that the government cannot. But the opposite is true as well. There are services that the government can provide that the private sector simply cannot. And all you need to do to see that is to look at the failed private school voucher experiment that we're now seeing expanded rather than facing the reality that this has been a failed experiment to undermine our public K-12 education across the state. We as a society decided that education is a public good, and it behooves us to provide every young person and every person in general with a quality education. But now what we're seeing is, rather than funding our neighborhood schools, what we're seeing is an attempt to undermine them.
All right, let's sneak in a real quick call here at the end of the show, because I think this is a point that needs to be made. Scott in Green Bay, you'll have to be brief. We're almost out of time. Scott, go ahead.
Thanks. I find it kind of sad that in a country like Germany, they're going in the opposite direction, where the government pays for 100% of education all the way through doctorate, because they want educated people in their society, doctors, etc. Also, I'm a college dropout, but I had a class where a Japanese trade representative was there, and he told us that in their side they felt that education was a matter of national security, their population, be educated about the world they live in, that type of thing.
Okay. Thank you. Scott, thank you very much. Education, a matter of national security. Saul Newton?
Well, I think it's no matter which way you look at it, whether it's from national security, which is an interesting perspective, or or a public service for the economy or a public service for research. Higher education is a public good. It serves every person in the state.
Saul's got a little bit of a frog in his throat. This is Saul. If this is indeed a war, what's the end game? How do you see this ending up?
Well, I think the end game is something similar to what we've seen with K-12 education, where public universities are undermined in the name of private universities, which are able to turn a profit from students. And you saw the beginnings of that with Governor Walker's proposal to remove oversight of for-profit colleges in Wisconsin in this budget cycle. Now, that thankfully was undone, but I think that that's indicative of what the end game of, Walker's vision for education is in Wisconsin.
All right, Saul Newton, thank you for joining us this morning and being here this hour. I really appreciate your time today.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Saul Newton is a student at the University of Wisconsin Waukesha and U.S. Army veteran. He writes the Rally Point column for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. His most recent column, titled "What is Driving Scott Walker's War on Wisconsin Universities," was the basis for this program. Thank you to all who called or posted on Facebook and participated in our discussion this hour. Thanks also to Christy Taylor, who produced this hour of programming. Caleb Blato handled on-air production, and Christy Taylor also served as our director. Coming up after the news, our big question debate this week is, should the U.S. switch to the metric system? We debate, you decide. Should the U.S. switch to the metric system? Coming up after the news. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.